Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live and in color. We've got a hot lineup for you tonight. We've got some folks that I'm not even going to say. Just stay on the line because I can promise you some big surprises for tonight. Anyway, today is March 24th, and some of us are celebrating Palm Sunday. And I just want to say that I had absolutely great privilege of being with Mr. Fred Price this morning at service, and as always, he delivered. So it was just really great being in his presence. It was the first time I actually was in his presence, so that was pretty cool. Anyway, that was how I started my day, and just wanted to welcome you all to the show. And what we traditionally do is we start out with the declaration. So let's do that and get this show on the road. I got my co-host out there. Wait, how you doing, Henrietta? All right, Henrietta.
I have my mute button on. I'm doing great. I had a wonderful Palm Sunday experience, you know, and the question that our minister asked was, you know, it wasn't just the entry, the triumphant entry of Jesus. It's what he was riding on that was so important. And, you know, it's what is your consciousness? See, he could have come in a lot of different ways, but he chose to come on a donkey, okay, as it's written. And it's what that represents, and it's what the consciousness, you know, it's like, what is your consciousness? Jerusalem, where he walked into or rode into, metaphysically means a place of peace. And so what is your consciousness as you go into your place of peace? You know, what is it that you know, so don't get me started, you know, don't give a preacher a mic. Especially on Palm Sunday. But the show is so good today. I will save that conversation for another time. But I'm doing great.
Well, I think you started out with what are you riding into? Riding on.
That's right.
Okay. Hello. All right, cool. Well, let's get going with the declaration and get this party started. So the declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991, March 24th, 2013. Above, below, within, north, south, east, west. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. So, with that, I'm actually going to bring on our first guest, and who I want to say about our first guest is that she really is a woman who is the epitome of strength, of grace, of beauty, and she brings it, okay? And she's about business, and she is the chairperson of Queens Community Board 12, Adrienne Adams, who has just recently taken the chairperson position, but has created a calming effect and actually has created some focus around what is to get done next. So without any further ado, Adrienne, welcome to the show.
Wow, thanks so much, Glenn. It is really my pleasure to be here, I have to tell you. And listening to you and Ms. Bird begin the show, I'm just so touched. You know, it means a lot to join you on Palm Sunday evening. And I know you don't know this, Glenn, but I am an AME evangelist.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Okay.
I knew you didn't know that. So it sometimes comes out, I don't know if you know, in the fervor of my speaking sometimes. But it's an honor to be here, and thank you both for having me tonight.
Well, welcome.
You're very welcome. And Adrienne, would you? I want people to get who you are and how you've crafted a possibility, a vision for Community Board 12, and let them know a little bit about that the statement, the marching orders that you've established. In creating a vision for the community board and really for Southeast Queens.
Thank you. I would love to. As you know, I was previously the education chair for Community Board 12 before being elected as the chair at the end of December. And what I saw as education chairperson was a dire need for relationships to be forged within our community, specifically with the community board, because we work so hard on the community board. And I don't really think that the community really sees us sees our worth. We know that we have monthly meetings, and we know that we can articulate and the community can articulate their concerns most of the time for Board 12, because we are the largest community board in Queens. We hear a lot of complaints, and I think that the community has gotten very, very desensitized as far as hearing any accomplishments within Community Board 12, and it just looks sometimes that our committees, which we have many, aren't really working in the best effort of the community. So my vision and my prayer for Community Board 12 coming in was to incorporate a specific hands-on means of interaction and unity for the constituents that we serve as Community Board 12. And what God gave me was a mission of purpose. And that's an acronym that I came in with that stands for, it's become our theme. Purpose stands for people, unity, respect, partnership, ownership, support, and excellence. The P for purpose is for the people. And the people, I mean the community that we serve. And since we are the people, we are in service to ourselves as well as all of the people in the community. The U in purpose is unity, which is the preferred accord to enhance achievements with each other and the community. The R in purpose is, of course, respect, which is the value and esteem placed on each other collectively and as individuals. The P is partnership, something that we need. It's the team spirit that we exhibit and share on the board and in our districts. The O is ownership. It's time that we start owning the things that we want to manage and that we lay claim in management. And the ownership means focused commitment and responsibility in our efforts as community leaders. The S in purpose is support, and it's help given to each other in the commission of our tasks. One of my main things was to have our committees work with each other instead of independently for the greater good of our community at large, because we have so much need in our community. So the S is for support. And finally, the E in purpose is excellence. And God tells us in everything we are to be excellent. And the excellence is the fulfillment of our duties with utmost thought and quality. And I have to tell you, Ms. Bird and Glenn, to date, Community Board 12 membership is definitely supporting and embracing these principles that I brought forth in January, both individually and in our communities at large. And we are actually working as a team, something that in my almost 5 years on Community Board 12 that I haven't seen to an extent as I've seen in these past few months. But we're working as a team now to enhance the quality of life in our community, to make it the best that I can be. And finally, just to let you know, in reading everything that the International Black Summit stands for, I have to tell you that our stand at Community Board 12 appears to be similar, if not the same, as that of the International Black Summit, especially in the ending of the murders of our men, women, and children, the building of economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services. Do you know that Community Board 12 serves all social services at Queens? Establishing nurturing relationships, which is a part of my vision of purpose, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, and definitely empowering our youth. So we have a lot in common at Community Board 12 with the International Black Summit.
Well, thank you.
You know, I love somebody who can really preach, and especially when they're preaching, especially when they are preaching the Declaration, okay?
Ben.
So, okay. But tell the listeners, please, where Community Board 12 is located.
Absolutely. Community Board 12, again, it covers the largest area of the borough of Queens. We're comprised of districts 28, 29, and a part of 27. Our northern boundary is Hillside Avenue. Our eastern boundaries are Francis Lewis Boulevard and Springfield Boulevard. Our southern boundary is the Southern State Parkway, and our western boundary is the Van Wyck Expressway. So that is Community Board 12 is comprised of. It's a huge, huge area.
Right. But it's in New York City. That's what I want everybody to hear.
Yes.
But this is in New York. Right. Okay.
We are one of 59 community boards in New York City, and as I said, we are the largest in Queens.
One of the things that I loved about your stand is that you created purpose and vision, and that's something that is near and dear to us at the International Black Summit. One of the things that we look at is really about providing a vision, providing a possibility. What does that look like? The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So it's absolutely inside of that context, and you're absolutely right. There is such interplay, and the thing that is so powerful about it is when people have a clear vision and a purpose, they now know how to align themselves into the direction of where the vision is going. And that is so important in leadership, especially in leadership in our community. And so that's one of the things I wanted to acknowledge you for. And, of course, this is Women's Month. And for us here at the International Black Summit, it's Black Women's Month. And so for me, to honor you as someone that is doing the work in our community so passionately and so clearly focused is a treat for me to work with you and to explore the possibilities of what can get done inside of that context. So it's with that I just thank you and honor you for being sharing your time with us tonight and really just being part of the show. I just really wanted to let you know that.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for those kind words. I have to tell you that I am loving the job. Many people have asked me over the past few weeks, especially, you know, is it stressing you out? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So I am loving the job. I'm loving the vision that, you know, that God has given to me. And it's so important to me, Glenn, to hear you, you know, as our chair of economic development of Community Board 12, to say that the vision is actually being embraced. And we definitely see it and feel it. I'm so thankful and grateful for your leadership as well as committee chair of the Economic Development Committee. And I look forward to all the great things that you are going to bring to Community Board 12 in the future. You as well. Thank you both so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank
Anything
you.
Else that you'd like
Thank
to say
you.
Before you leave?
I would just like to let everyone know that Community Board 12 meets every third Wednesday of the month in Queens at the Robert Ross Johnson Family Life Center. That's located at the corner of Linden Boulevard and Merrick Boulevard in St. Albans. 7 p.m., come one, come all. We welcome you. We welcome your thoughts, your input, and your observation. And God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much. And please come back another time and share with us again.
I would love to. Thank you both. Have a great night.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you every Sunday, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live and in color. And we have another set of powerful, inspiring guests that we want to bring into the show. I've got a couple of hands up. While I bring them in, Henrietta, would you like to introduce them?
I would, and it's interesting because this is a wonderful group of people. When we talk about building economies and funding our communities, they are so inside the Declaration of the International Black Summit, empowering our youth. Just every part of the Declaration. Being whole and complete. The next group of people on the show tonight they're actors, and I had the wonderful experience of seeing them in a play. And you all heard me just rave about this play about 2 weeks ago. I think it was two Sundays ago because it was the night before, maybe even 3 weeks ago. But it was the night before that I told you I saw this play. It came to my church, and the name of the play was Standing in the Shadows. And I had no clue what the play was about. I mean, I just no clue at all. I was supporting the play because it was at my church, you know. And this group of people, I found myself being a groupie at the after party. And I have never in my life done that. But this was the nicest group of actors I think I have ever experienced. And the play is so powerful. It just covers so many different aspects of life. The playwright was on, but she had to go because she had a transition in her family. So she was on earlier, but I just got a text, and she had to get off, and the director had to leave also during this first segment. But the actors are still on board, and I would just like for you to meet them. And I don't want to do the introduction. I'm going to ask that they introduce themselves. We have to, because the play is going to tour the country and the world, as far as I'm concerned. We can tell you a little bit about the play, but not all the details. But we will tell you enough so that when it comes to your area, you will make sure that you go and see this play. So,
very good. Okay. With that, let me bring
How many mics?
Okay.
I'm going to let them know that their mic is open. So 773-671, your mic is open. Go ahead. 773-491, your mic is open. 704-224, your mic is open. And 312-933, your mic is open. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello, good evening.
Thank you. Thank you
who would like to go first?
Lady first.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Sandra McCullough Williams, and I had the privilege of playing the mother in this particular show called The Standing in the Shadows of Love.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hi, Sandra.
Hi, Henrietta. How are you?
Great. Welcome. Welcome to the show. And who else do we have?
We have Jay Thurman. Hello. How are you doing?
Hi. How are you?
Good, good. I had the honor of playing Jimmy, the security officer, as well as Akeem, the African inmate, actually, in the play.
Okay.
We were honored to do at your church. It was a wonderful experience. And can't wait to actually tour again. It was to work with these great actors and actresses, unbelievable experience. And we actually can't wait. It's a powerful message that the world should hear and should see, brought to you by Tracy Adetunji and directed by Donald Gray. I'm not sure who else we got on the line.
Ben Lang. Hello?
Hello? Say it again, please.
Yeah, I'm Ben Lane. I was blessed to be the son in the play Standing in the Shadows of Love. It was definitely a wonderful experience. And like Jay was saying, I believe it should be seen all around the world. And it's a message that can be felt, you know, when it's seen and when it's heard, because you never know when certain scenarios come up. But it was definitely a blessing.
And you played the son.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
Yes.
And there's one other person, I think, online.
Yes, this is Donald Gray, the director of the play. How you doing?
I'm good, Donald. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm blessed. I'm actually going to have to get off, but I just wanted to stay on long enough to just say thank you and your great church for allowing us to come in to do this play, Standing in the Shadows of Love. We thank you all. We give great shout-outs to this great writer, and it's so good to hear the voices of Sandra, Ben, and Jay on the other line, great actors and actresses that I just love totally working with and being there in Chicago. And we just thank the city of Chicago for coming out and supporting this powerful message which dealt with youth gun violence, and we were just excited about it.
Thank you so much. Will you just tell the listeners a little bit, tell them what you can tell them about the play? Yes, it had to do with gun violence, but it also had to do with some other things, and I want to make sure that you tell that part so I don't tell too much.
Well, I think overall, go ahead, Ben. You want to tell about your part, Ben?
I guess I could say a little bit about my part, you know. Being a son, you know, and a teenager, there's so many things that go through your mind as you're growing up and going through a process. And I was a little bit privileged than most, you know, so sometimes things change, lives change, and the reaction should be more thought about. Even though as a young age it's hard to think about these circumstances, but violence and gun violence should be the last result, and that's kind of what my message is, because it can change your life in that one instance. If you would have just made a better decision, you wouldn't have to, you know, go through those trials and turmoil.
Yeah. the part being, I think that you played though was, it was so interesting because I have a girlfriend, a really good girlfriend who has a son, and we are always talking about mothers and their sons and how mothers treat their sons differently than they treat their daughters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so my question, because this play had a lot to do with that. Not treating one better than the other, because there wasn't a daughter in the play, but just the mother, the influence of the mother, you know, in the play. And to me, it's really hard to think that this was a play. It was so real.
Right.
If I can interject, we as the black community, I think that's why the story is so powerful, because we are dealing with this on a daily basis, where we have mothers that we all heard the story that how we raise our daughters and spoil our sons. And dealing with in the black community right now, there's so many single parent moms raising boys that are in the same predicament, that they can relate to this situation. So this is real life for a lot of people. I had a friend of mine that come out to the play that told me that she had been so emotional ever since the show, because she saw herself and her son in this story. It relates to 75 to 80% of the households, of the African-American households, you know, today. So that's why it's such a powerful piece.
Right.
And that's why I love it, because it speaks about a powerful man in the piece that did what he was called to do, you know,
I
just pray that all men are able to see this, you know, and the transition from boyhood to manhood and what it exactly entails, you know, what it takes to do that. It calls for great actions and great circumstances, you know, and I think Tommy Ford did an excellent job in portraying that when his character as the father. Ben Lane did a wonderful job as the son, you know, and showing what young black men go through. And as well, Sandra did a wonderful job as, you know, we love our boys. These moms, they love their boys. But a mother really, and this is one thing that I love, because I'm just trying to get high on my soapbox about this. Women, they always kind of spoil their boys, but a boy needs a man to show him how to be a man.
Absolutely.
Tommy was like the dad. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Right, so just for a moment, because I am a single mother, all right, and people would call me, you know, on Father's Day, and you know, wish me happy Father's Day, okay?
That's right.
And different, you know, like different things like that. But there came a time in my daughter's life where I realized I could not be her father. Okay,
right.
I could not be father. I am a woman. I cannot be her father. And so I found two of my friends, and I asked them if they would step in and be her dad, and they did. You know, Tommy was so good in his part. I mean, everybody. Tommy reminded me of my father. I had flashbacks. I used to tell people that if we ever did anything that the police had to take us somewhere, do not call my father. Okay? And that's the way Tommy was. I'm like, just leave me wherever.
Right.
You know, I was scared to do anything wrong. I was scared because of my father. You know, and the part that Sandra played. I've known Sandra for years, but I could not believe that was my friend. That is not Sandra up there. It was so good. You all were so good. I mean, it was just like, so real.
Thank
everything.
Thank
every part of it was just oh my God. And also the thought, and I talked to Tracy about this. I thought that the end part, the ending, and I can't tell it, of course, but I thought that was brilliant because it was not predictable. You really didn't know what you know, and I don't want to tell it because this play will be in every city, and I know that. I know that I see it, I'm speaking it, you know, and the ending was just brilliant because it was not predictable. I thought you all did. I mean, just an excellent job. And then there was a time in the play when, and I know you all are supposed to be doing the interview, and I'm doing it, so I'm going to shut up in a second. Just give me two more seconds. There was a time in the play where the best friends sang. And see, not only are these people incredible actors, but every one of them can sing. And I mean sing. When the two guys, Lord have mercy, I thought I would just levitate out of my seat God, you all were so good. Just really, 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 really good. And but let's get back to you. Okay, let's get back to you. Let me ask you a couple of questions. So let me just tell the listeners, first of all, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. And I'm Henrietta, and Glenn is on, of course. And we are interviewing the cast from Standing in the Shadows of Love, a wonderful play that is coming to your city soon. And make sure that you do not miss it. And the playwright is Tracy. Pronounce your last name for me, please.
Atatunji, yes.
Okay, thank you.
She's not on the line, but that's how you pronounce
it. Okay, and she's an African-American female who told me today I had a long conversation with her, and she told me she wrote this play 8 years ago. 8 years ago.
Wow.
And she always saw these actors. She said she knew from the time that she wrote it that these would be the actors. And that blew me away because you all don't even look like you've been around that long to be actors for 8 years. But I know. You know, I know we look good. I know, but she told me that, and she was just going through some of the things that had her pull this play at this particular time, and it was just the divine right time for the play. Okay, so questions for you. I would like to know. Let me ask Sandra this question first, Sandra. You are a mother of a son. You have a son.
Yes,
I'm a teenage son. What did it do? I mean, how did you feel? Like, what did it do for you as a parent?
Well, I preach that sermon to my child all the time, and I know he gets tired of hearing it, but as a single female, not by choice, but because God felt that my husband had to go on to bigger and better things in another dimension of life. So it left me questioning myself, hey, I'm doing this by myself, even though I know God is directing me. But it shows me that life is an ever-changing awareness that we have. And I could preach all day long, but he gave us choices. And we have to follow the correct choice because if we don't, it will lead us in another direction, a direction that we don't want to go in. So it was a very, very, very touching experience for myself because, like I said, I preach this all the time, how things can change in an instant.
Mm-hmm.
So I just say it's just a life-changing awareness.
Okay. All right, so let me ask the son, and I didn't hear your name, Lane, I think.
Yeah, Ben Lane.
Okay. Tell me what it did for you. Have you ever had a friend who was killed by gun violence?
Well, I could say fortunately I haven't, but I know friends who have had friends, and I actually know youth who've lost their friends to gun violence, close friends. So the fact of it, the feeling of it all was so surreal because, like Sandra was saying, everything could change in an instant, but we should not let violence be the first thought. You know, why is violence the first reaction? And it really took me to a different place. I could definitely say the role definitely did. And not saying it's understandable, but there's always both sides of the story, you know. But there's ways of defusing it. But also, like Jay was saying, the father influence is what made it right. You know, mm-hmm. The motherly influence. It was right because of the motherly, because of the mother's nature. But the father influence is what changed, just made it right, you know. And the mm-hmm. lack of that being in our communities, maybe that may be what is resulting in the violence. But it just needs to change, and the message needs to get out. And it was definitely a powerful, surreal feeling being up there with such great actors. Like, definitely, they bring the most out, and it came together beautifully.
Okay.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I mean, say it again. I thought I heard someone speak.
Oh, no, I just said, yes, it did. It came together beautifully, and it was not by choice. I think
mm-hmm.
This was all in the master plan that
yeah.
we weren't together by accident.
Right.
And God brought us all together because we had to come together in order for each one of us to get to the next level in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just saying that, everybody gelled. It was just a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. So now let's talk to the prison guard. Was hysterical, okay? Oh my God! You all were just really, really funny. But tell me, what it did for you. What that part, you know? Let me ask you a couple of questions. What the part did? How it affected you? What was it like to really think about being in prison or working in prison, excuse me. Well, yeah, you have to think about being in prison also.
Right. Well, it was, it was a twofold, actually, because I played both parts of Akeem, the inmate, the African inmate, as well as the prison guard. So I had to kind of get both sides of the cell to. Hello?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, both sides of the cell, so to speak. But, I love the storyline. You know, I love the story. I believe there's a story that needs to be told. I would get a high up on my soapbox and yell it from coast to coast because I really just believe in the story. My character, I believe... I just needed to bring a little light humor to the show because it's such a heavy content that, life, when it's taken too seriously all the time, it can weigh you down at times. You know, so what I look to do in situations like that is use the platform just to kind of uplift our people, just to help the message get across a little bit. You can find a little humor in everything. I'm a firm believer. So that's really how I looked at it. The inmate, I'm not going to give up that piece of information, but I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Well,
just let me say this, and I would like to say that, Jordan, you playing that part. I look forward for you to do that in rehearsals all the time. So I enjoyed you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
that. Hey, I can definitely say I enjoyed him, and I can definitely say I enjoyed him, and I was right next to him. He's definitely a great actor.
Let me just say, in case there are any other cast members online right now, if you would press the number one button so we know that you're there and we can turn on your mic, because I know we tried to reach everyone to be on tonight. So let me just say that. And the call-in number is 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827 if anybody who's listening online wants to call in and ask a question or make a comment, you know, that's the number that you would dial. Glenn, are you around?
I am. Thing that I'm just so present to, oh, we've got another caller that raised their hand. I'm going to open up your mic in a second. What I'm present to is the love that is, you know, just coming through. It's coming through the airwaves. So I can imagine what it must be like to be in the presence of it. So I'm just, I just want to acknowledge just that powerful love and the message that you're bringing is such. It's such a deep message. It's a message that we need in our community, and to have it played out gives people the inside of themselves. And so I just want to acknowledge and thank you all for that. And I'm dying for it to come to New York now. So I'll definitely have to find out to New York.
I'm interested, Glenn, into asking you what you think the play is about. You know, I'm like, what you think it's about. But let me say this: relationships. It's all about relationships. You know, and we're always talking about nurturing relationships in the Declaration of the International Black Summit. It's all about nurturing relationships, and this play, there's relationships. All the different families. The relationship in the prison. Just relationships all through it, and nurturing relationships as well. Mm-hmm. So,
what's wild and crazy is that I was at Community Mediation Services had an event on Friday. And one of the things that I came out with, it had an open space. They talked about some of the issues that are occurring in our community, and they talked about mediation and that whole process. And one of the things that came out of it was, of course, communication, relationship, and trust. And so I hear all of those things inside of this play. I haven't seen it yet. But I can hear it in your speaking. All three of those things occurring. So it's like I'm excited. I'm very, very excited. And let me bring you into the line, 708-275. Go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hi, how are you? This is Tracy. I'm with Attitude.
Oh, hey.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi, guys. I was on earlier, but I had to leave. But I was just so excited about the phone call, I snuck back out. So I only got a few minutes, but I just didn't. I know I promised Reverend Henrietta that I would do my best, and that's what I'm doing. So I knew that you guys could handle it. So and so I said, let me run back out again real quick and just, you know, stick my little head in and say hi and let you guys know that I love you. I appreciate you all. You know, this is a wonderful cast. I'm sure you guys have heard. I'm proud of each and every one of them. I don't know who's all on the line right now, but hopefully everybody, you know, that said they were going to be on here is on here. And I'm just excited about the things that God is doing for each and every one of us. I don't know if Donald's on the line. Is Donald on the line?
He had to go. He was on earlier.
Okay. Great.
He was on for a minute. We did get a chance to speak with him, but I need to tell people that Tracy is the playwright. Tracy is the one who wrote the play.
Kudos, because as I said, I hear it in the speaking. I hear it in the relationships, the interplay. I'm loving the content. I'm just, you know, thank you for having the vision of healing our community, because I'm clear that that's what this play is about, and I haven't even seen it.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you. I just thank God for everybody that's been a part of it. Reverend Henrietta for Christ Universal Temple, just for giving us the opportunity to present it to Chicago. And just the cast was amazing. Everybody's just really been supportive of the play, of me. And it's just really, God is just really doing some major things in all of our lives. And I'm just glad that he brought us all together. And this play is something that I believe that people really need to see. I don't know how much you guys have talked about, but I just think it's needed right now. It's something that that we need right now.
Exactly.
You know, yeah, they you know, they were saying, you know, that song, He's an On-Time God, and I just believe that because he just brought this play. I've had it for so long. I don't know if Reverend Henrietta shared anything, but we talked early today, and I've had this play for a very long time, and it's just it amazes me how I just kind of sat on it, and I knew that I wanted to do it, and I knew who I wanted to be in it, but I just didn't do it at that time. And back in 07, I was doing another play, and I told Donald, who's my director, he's been my director for years, I told him, I said, Donald, I think I'm going to do this one next. And he said, okay, well, let's do it. And then I didn't do it. I reached out to Tommy Ford back in 08, and I gave him the script back then. And I reached out to Jeffrey and Zuri, to their manager, and gave, you know, him information regarding it. And I still didn't do it. And so knowing that I had this piece that I always wanted to do, but I always said, well, you know, I'll do it later. And then I'll go on to do something else. Well, I just believe that God had me hold it. And he didn't want me to do it at that time. He wanted me to do it now, because now is when it needs to be seen. And I had my cousin, I don't even know if I shared this with you, Reverend Henrietta, he was shot a couple weeks before the play. And he does things with the youth in his area. He lived in Maywood. And he was going out with some guys, and he was passing out literature about gun violence. And he was shot. And so he was like, I'm going to be there. And he brought 15 youth out to the play. And each and every one of those young men were touched by that play. And that's my goal. That's what I want to do. And I feel that's what God is leading us to do, is to touch these guys, touch these young men out here in Chicago and all the other cities that we pray that we will be able to go to, and have them relate to something, and hopefully if we could change one person, you know, or change one kid, or make one gangbanger put down a gun, then that's what I believe we're supposed to be doing. And I believe this play will lead people to do that. I really do.
Awesome. I certainly get that. I certainly get that the timing is perfect. You know,
one of the things at the International Black Summit we often discuss is to not worry about our past, but just deal with the present. And this was the perfect time, and you had the perfect people, and everything came into play perfectly to have this creation of yours be presented powerfully to the world. And just want to acknowledge your insight, your foresight, because this is a conversation that can be replicated. And here's the thing, not just in the United States, but this is a worldwide conversation. So
yes,
that's the power of the intention that you have flowing here. So it's very powerful. So I'm very excited. Please let me know when you're coming to New York. We can let folks know about this wonderful play that you put together here. So I'm excited. Like I said, I'm excited just at the power and the presence that you all have and the love that you have. And that, you know, I'm very excited at the possibility. I'm going to give it back to Henrietta. Go ahead, Henrietta.
It would really be nice if, you know, the International Black Summit, the annual event this year is in Ottawa, Canada. And it would be really nice if this could be the opening event. Okay. We always have opening ceremony at the, you know, on Thursday, which is August 1st. 2013, and this would be wonderful if this could be a part of the opening ceremony, you know?
Hey, guys, so, you guys available August 1st? I am.
I'll clear my schedule.
All right. I'm into creating things, so, you know, I can see that. There's just so much. Other than the gun violence, I was going to say, that's one of the powerful messages that's in the play, that you get out of the play. But, we talked about earlier, like humor, how no matter what the situation is, you have to find a way to have fun. You know,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of fun in it, in spite of the situation. You know, it really made you think as a parent. It made you think, what would you do? You know, like, what would I do? You know, like, you know, here's my husband here. Here's my son here. I've been this, you know, Sandra, you were just really, it was really, really, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. But, and then the gentlemen, the guys, the friendship, I love the way that showed up, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I just every part of it was just so well done. It was well written.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
And
executed just perfectly. And did I mention how well these people sing? Okay.
They are awesome singers. Awesome singers.
Yes.
Awesome. Oh my God. It was just Lord have mercy. They have to come back and sing for us on this program. Just come back and sing, okay? We love you so much. And what really had, I meant to ask you all to be on the show. The very next day was Sunday, but I told you I just became a groupie at the after party. I've never done that in my life, but I became a groupie. I just followed you all around. I took pictures, you know. It was just, and everybody was just so nice and personable.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Everything. We are going to do a part two to this interview because of the people who could not be on tonight, you know.
Yes.
So when Tommy, when Tommy is available and you know, you all are available. I guess Stefan wasn't available either. Even the police woman, Sheila,
right.
I guess she was busy tonight too. But want to come back so we can, you know, just really ask some more questions. And I hope by that time, which I'm thinking is in a month or so, you all will have gone to New York. And on Broadway. I'm just, you know, since we get to create it, you know, the minister told us that this is our life, we create it, you know,
yes.
And so let's create it so that we win. Let's create it so that we win, you know?
That's right.
So I'm saying there's a theater on Broadway that's waiting for this play to show.
That's right. We definitely receive it.
Yes, exactly.
Let me ask, is there anything anybody else wants to share?
I just want to say that whoever comes to view this particular production, everyone will walk away with something. Somebody is going to be touched. And that's all I have to say. And thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank all of you guys. Thank you, Reverend Henrietta. And thank everybody from the summit who allowed us to come on and just, you know, be a part of the show. We really appreciate you all. Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Very welcome. Henrietta, we've got one more person that's got their hand up. 630217, go ahead, you're live on the air.
Hi, this is Sheila, the arresting officer.
Hey, Sheila.
Yes.
Hey,
how
Sheila.
Is everybody?
Everybody, well.
It's good to hear everybody on the line. I'm so excited.
Right.
I just wanted say it again.
No, go ahead, excuse me.
I just wanted to tell the cast, thank you so much. It was an honor and a privilege for a senior citizen to have her debut with such professional excellence.
Okay. I hear you.
I had so much fun. I enjoyed everyone. It was such a different type of an environment, even though I was the on the bottom of the totem pole. I felt so much a part of everything because it was a unique situation that I had never experienced before. Everyone, I was just telling some people today how even everyone in the cast would come in and hug and kiss you and say hello, no matter what your part was. Or even if you didn't have a part, everybody got warmly greeted and with so much love. And the experience itself is immeasurable. There is no price I could have put on it. Thank you all for every part, and thank you for just including me.
Thank you.
Well, I think that's what we were supposed to, Sheila.
It was really we had a really good time. I look forward to going to rehearsals, and if someone didn't make it, they were absolutely missed. So it was like we became a family. And I mean, a lot of these guys I didn't know, you know, prior to rehearsal, so it was really it was just great, you know, and something that I think we all will cherish, and it was just a really, really, really fun time. I mean, you have to, when you spend months and months with people, you get to know these people. You get to know them on a level that you wouldn't know. I mean, it's just like going to work. You go to work and you work with people for a long time, you get to see them. But I can honestly say everything that I've seen, I love about these people. Each individual person just brought so much.
Yes.
And even Sheila, when she says, well, her little, she brought so much to that. Even outside of the acting, I was going through some things, and she and I talked, and, you know,
I hadn't been getting any sleep, and she was just like, okay, I'm going to need some energy drink. You know, it's just little things like that. I mean, just stuff like that, you know. Things that you didn't even, that didn't even pertain to acting.
Right.
I mean, we just really were a family. My aunt was hospitalized during the time of that week. They all got together and prayed for my aunt. I mean, it was just things that we all shared with each other that it just made it so it made us really close.
And that's because
it really did.
We were all open and receptive. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. We were all open and receptive, and it couldn't have happened if we weren't. It could not have happened.
It couldn't
have.
So
I just
it
thank God that we were all on one accord. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Hold on for 1 minute. Excuse me for 1 minute. And we can keep talking, but I need to end this segment of the show because it is 8 o'clock. So we thank everybody for being with us. You are on the International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you've been listening to the cast from Standing in the Shadows of Love coming to a city near you real soon. Make sure you do not miss it. Buy tickets for everyone in your family. God bless you. And we will do a part two of this, so you will be able to hear a little bit more about Standing in the Shadows. I love you, Glenn, and we're going to keep this conversation going. So if you called in, you will hear it. If you're online, you will not. God bless you. Okay, we can continue.
Okay, Yeah, but like I was saying, it was great working with everyone. We really had a wonderful time. And it was just a blessing overall for me as a writer.
Yeah.
I got emotional a few times because Jay, he always laughs at me because I don't even know he's doing it, but when they're reading and they're he's looking at me after, he said, you should see your face. And he said, you sit there, he's like, you should be intrigued by it. And I said, it amazes me how you can write something and you have your words and then you know what you want. And then you see these people that take everything off this paper that you sit, you know, and took months to write, and then they just start making it come to life. It's amazing. It's a really amazing feeling to see it, and then to see it, and it's actually the way that you envisioned it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I just love it. And so when I sit there with my mouth open and we laugh, and it's just like, because I'm like, I'm getting it. I'm like, yes, this is what I see. This is what I saw. And now you guys are just bringing it to life. And I couldn't be more thrilled and more happy with everyone. Jay did a wonderful job. He can tell you, I'm probably the hardest. I'm harder on him than anybody. Because he's my friend, you know. He's like, I knew him way before this, and it's just like, you know how, you know, if you got your brother in the show, you're going to be like, look, you can do things to your brother that you can't do to other people, right? So it's like he got fired every day. We were all laughing because we would be in rehearsal and he'd do something, I go, you're fired. And this everybody would laugh because he knows. I know him. I love him to death, and I was never worried. I mean, it's just you. Sometimes you gotta have that one person that you give a hard time, and that was Jay. He took it. So, but he was awesome. He was awesome. And when I sat, and they don't know this, but see, I sit all the way in the back at the theater. I sit back and I look, and I'm just sitting back there, and I'm seeing them acting, and they're doing it, and they're doing such a wonderful job. And I'm looking all over the church. And I'm telling you, it was packed. I mean, there was not a seat in the house left.
Yeah.
It was packed. And I'm looking at all these people and everybody, I mean, their emotions. You got the people that, you know, their mouths dropped, and then I'm hearing crying, and then I'm hearing laughing, and then I'm hearing, I mean, all the emotions that went through that church on that night. And I'm looking at the cast, and I'm seeing how they're into their scenes, and they're giving it. And I'm just so proud. I'm just like, look at them. Just look at them. They did a wonderful job. They really did.
What was funny was during intermission, when the minister gets up to, you know, to tell everybody what's going on, and he says, "What about that mother?"
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! I knew. It's funny because see, I knew that that mom. When I was writing it, I go, "They're gonna. This mom is gonna be a hot mess." And so, you know, I knew, but it's reality. It's reality. I'm a single mother. You know, I'm a single mother. And so I put myself in that. You know, what would I do? You know, it's that what would I do moment. You know, I know what I think I might do. You know what I'm saying? Right. Of course we all as moms, we, you know, raising those boys, we coddle our boys. I've got four kids, three girls and a boy. And he's my baby. He's my boy.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you know, you as a mother, I try my best to instill values in my son and tell him right from wrong. And I'm always telling him about this is what you need. Think about the consequences of your actions. You know, you have to do that. And I always tell him, and it leads me back to one incident where we were driving down the street and there were a bunch of fire trucks and policemen in the strip mall. And my son goes, "Oh, Mom, let's go see what happened." And I took that moment to tell him, I said, "Now you want me to turn the car around, you want me to go back to that scene. We don't know what is happening over there. There could be somebody holding somebody hostage. There could be, you know, why would you run toward that? You know," I said, "no, you run away from trouble. You don't run to trouble, you run away from it."
Exactly.
And so
yeah.
That told me a lot about my son. Now, he was a little boy at the time. But then I said, you know what, that just showed me something. It was kind of like that light bulb moment, that aha moment like Oprah talks about. And I was like, okay, now I can just fuss at him right now, or I can take this experience and I can try to teach him something from it. So that's when I told him, I said, you know what, I said, there's going to be a lot of times in your life, son, where you could either go toward or you can run from. I said, now you got your friends and everybody that may want to go to war trouble. I said, and some of them might even be scared to say, "No, I'm not going to go." I said, you have to be that one to say, "You know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go in the opposite direction." I said, and I bet you one of your friends will go with you.
That's right.
I said, but it's going to take that one person to stand up and say, "No, I'm not going to do it." I said, you be that person. I said, you be that person. I said, and I bet you any money, one of your friends who's too scared to be the person, they're going to say, you know what, I'm going to go with Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you might just save your life and another kid's too.
Wow.
So,
that same conversation.
Yeah, and we have to. And it's just, it's hard enough being a single mother, you know. But raising a male child, you know, but it's those moments that I try my best, you know, to take and to show my kids. And I feel that I have an outlet. I have a way to show my kids through theater, through entertainment. You know, this is a teaching tool that, you know, I use these moments to have all my plays. My kids sit right there and they look, you know. So not only am I writing for the world and for other, I'm writing for my children as well.
Yes,
right.
Well, thank you all so much. Thank you again and again. And I see you. We're going to New York and we're going to Ottawa, Canada. So let's just start naming the place. Just look, let me know, Tracy, let me know how much it costs so I can call the people, the Canadians. See, the International Black Summit is an organization of people of Black African descent, okay, who come together once a year in the first weekend in August every year and we stay in a room for the weekend and we work out stuff. Our stuff.
Okay.
And so it's a transformation. We do transformation work. You know, if you go to blacksummit.org, you can see what we're about. And we always have an opening ceremony on Thursday night. and the conversation begins on Friday morning. And we stay in this conversation until Sunday afternoon. And
it's so
apropos with the play, because what every year we come out with a question, and however many people show up, there's not a set group of people. You know, life calls us to a particular place and we go, and this year it's Ottawa, Canada. Last year was in Birmingham, so we were present to a lot of the civil rights experiences,
right,
and a lot of the people who came to the opening ceremony were people who were actually in the civil rights movement or children of people. We actually spoke to the girl, you know, the bombing of the 16th Street Church in Birmingham.
16th Street Baptist Church, right.
16th Street Church, right. The lady, you know, there was one girl who survived it because when the phone rang, the bomber called, and she got up to answer the phone, and he told her that he had put a bomb in the church, and that's why she lived. And we actually spoke with her.
Wow.
We, you know, it was really, really nice. And so this year we're going to Canada, and we have wonderful group of Canadians who are hosting us.
Okay.
And so I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to talk to them.
Please, we would love to come.
And see, you know, but if you all will go to blacksummit.org and you can see what we're about, you can also click on talk show and you will be able to hear this interview whenever you like. We can, you know, like I said, in the future, we can do the interviews so that you can use them as promotional pieces also.
Okay.
Because you can download them if you go to Blog Talk Radio and go to International Black Summit, and the date, March 24th, you can download this to your MP3 player or, you know, whatever, your iPod, and listen to it that way as well. So it can, you know, it can be a promotional piece also. But thank you, Mr. Prison Guard. And thank you, my dear. Thank you, the rescue officer.
Thank you.
And the playwright and the director. I'm so appreciative of you all taking the time out to be on the show tonight.
Thank you for having us. Thank you very much. Yes.
Glenn, you have any last words for them?
Just thank you for your masterpiece.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. We look forward to coming to New York.
Okay. I am. Well,
okay.
Good night and God bless. This is International Black Summit.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.